is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. You thought I was going to forget to pray my Hail Mary. It's good to be back and to be with all of you this Sunday and to offer Mass and just to be with family and friends. Parents are here in the front row. Father Mitch's parents are here too, so we've got everybody here. One of the things they taught us in training is tell them what you want to tell them, tell them what you tell them, and then tell you just what you told them, and that's how you give a briefing. Try to do that because I'm not always the best to go just off the cuff. I don't have my iPad with me. I don't have any notes. So I'm going to share with you, my Queen of All Saints family, what's been going on the past several months since I left you in February after I was commissioned for the United States Air Force as a chaplain. Well, when I left you, I went to Shreveport, reporting in early before I went to training at Maxwell Air Force Base in Montgomery, Alabama. So before Montgomery, as you know, I'm stationed in Shreveport. So I arrive in Shreveport my first day on the job. They said, report in civilian clothing. So I did. The first question when I got to the chapel, to my commander, the wing chaplain, he said, where's your uniform? I said, sir, you said to come in the civilian clothes. Well, let's go to this military clothing store and get you suited up. So we got all that together and immediately, so where are you from? Or where are you coming from? I said, from South Louisiana in Ville Platte. Where is that? I said, north of Lafayette, south of Alexandria. Oh, okay. That's near New Orleans. No, sir. Then I met people who were actually from here. Some of our fellow Villeplatians and people from Evangeline Parish have been stationed at Barksdale Air Force Base or have been there. Some of you may have been there as well. And so we got that together. And because I had not been into training yet, I was really like a frocked lieutenant, meaning I had my lieutenant bars, but I had no training as an officer. So as I'm going around the base that first month before going to training, they were all looking and saying, sir, we know you're a lieutenant, but you don't behave like one. Or, don't you know about this? Or, don't you know about that? And I said, no? Well, what are you doing? And then I would tell them, I haven't been to training yet. Oh, well, we understand. So the lower airman, the enlisted, would say, Father, just follow me. You stand on my left side, and when they're going to salute at you, you salute back, but I won't salute with you because you and all of them outrank me, things like that. So they were good to me. And then when I got to training in Maxwell, many have asked, did you go to boot camp? BMT, basic military training, is for the enlisted. And so, oh, well, then you're going to officer school. That's the fork and knife school. Miss Theotis, who a member of our community, she had gone there years ago when she commissioned as a medic, and she said, oh, that's going to be nice. You're going to enjoy it. It's a lot like basic military training, but for officers, as soon as you step on the bus, why are you standing there? What are you doing? Get in line. Don't stand on that line. Back and forth. Those of you who've been through military training, you have the TIs after you for about 2 weeks. And you don't know whether to stand or sit, or if you sit or stand, and even if you say, even if you do it exactly as they told you, you still did it wrong. They're trying to see how you're going to handle pressure. Because if, as they said, if you can't handle us screaming at you in a very controlled environment, if we send you downrange and this is actually things blowing up around you, will you keep your composure? Will you maintain your bearing? And there, once we figured that out, then it became fun. And at one point they said, you're a chaplain. Yes, because we're there with all the other medics and the JAGs and the chaplains. We're the professional corps, so they all send us through the same the officer training. Oh, you're a real chaplain? Yeah. And you're Catholic? Yes. So that means you're a priest?
Yeah.
Or you're a real priest? No, I'm a half a priest. I'm a demi-prêtre. And when that happened, oh, wow. Then the drill instructor found that out, and he said, you're a chaplain. Or he asked me, he says, what are you? Are you a medic? No. Are you a JAG? No. A chaplain. He says, ooh, a chaplain. I'm going to have fun with you. Get to attention. Get in line. But by the end, when it was over, those of you who have been through that experience, it becomes very outstanding, because these very people who you thought hated you in the beginning and were driving you crazy, you gain their respect and they gain yours. And even after just 6 weeks, you form a unit and a new family. And these very instructors now send you forth and send you to your assignment and give you a vouch for you and to your commanders that you can do your job. So, got back to Barksdale Air Force Base in May and have been there since, tending to the Catholic community. And so what difference does that make? Because often we still get the question, oh, well, chaplain, you just say Mass. That's all you do. Like, Father, all you do is say Mass all day long. No. And I do get the question, what is the difference between being an Air Force chaplain and being a parish priest? The first one is, we're expected to be in the community in a different way. We call it unit engagement, because I am the Catholic priest at the base, but I'm assigned to several squadrons. They are my primary responsibility to medical groups. So the medical commander looks to me and says, you are my chaplain, how are my people? And so I go about my day going and visiting the doctors, the nurses, the patients, the staff, in throughout the hospital. The best analogy is that is the level of clearance they give a chaplain to do his job is if somebody here worked at the bank, those of you who work at the bank, that you had a chaplain assigned to the bank, they had the same level of clearance, not just to go and ask you how you were doing, but to go behind the counter, into the safe with you, and they're expected to do that because they're caring for their people. We're caring for our airmen, we're caring for our flock. And we're actually out amongst the base. Or the best analogy I use for my community, my Catholic community, because it really don't fit the qualifications of what we mean as a parish, so we use the term Catholic community. And my Knights of Columbus, we have an active Knights of Columbus Council, they've really bit hard on this, because the analogy I gave them, I said, you know, we can have the most beautiful bass boat and put it out on the lake and wait for the fish to jump in. And they might. But you might be waiting there a long time. Our instructions from our Archbishop for the Military Service and from our Chief of Chaplains of the Air Force is to go out and fish and actually sort of jump in the water and go get them. So my knight said, so Father, if I'm going to do a barbecue for those in the dorm, does that mean I should go and we should, as a council, go and barbecue at the dorm? Instead of doing it at the chapel hall and wait for them to come and wonder why they're not here? I said, yeah, go out there and do that. Be with the airmen. And I invited several of my retirees to come in and be with us. And they simply handed out Gatorade and medals at the end of the prayer run, 5K one morning. And I said, Father, to be part of it again, to be with the people, it's amazing. So when I go to Mass on Sunday morning or weekday, who do I tend to? My parishioners, my community members, rather, the people I live and work with every day, but also my bosses, the supervisors, the generals, the colonels. They're sitting in there. So when I go into their office, yes, sir, but when they come into the chapel, the role reverses. Father, I need your help, as anybody else would. It's amazing. Very rewarding. And the question, like these two ask me all the time, are you happy? Yes, very much so. And it all ties into the gospel today. pull it all in. When we see Jesus speaking to Philip, and then Simon Peter and Andrew and all these people, Jesus saw and knew what he was going to do. But he asked his apostles, "They're hungry. We need to feed them. What can we do?" And the first thing they did was come up with all kinds of excuses. "There's no food. 200 days' wages wouldn't be enough." You know, we often do that. "I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too sick. Oh, if things were like they were at some other time. Or if I had this, or I didn't have that. If I had enough money, etc." We deal with this all the time. Whatever our excuses are, that we tell the Lord, "No, you can't do this. Or this won't happen because I don't have this resource or that resource. Or this time or that time," or whatever it may be. Think of your favorite excuse. And imagine Jesus there like this, like Philip. "Lord, we don't have this. We don't have enough." But Andrew said, "Well, I know we don't have all these things, but what do I have? I have a little boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. These aren't much, but Lord, they're yours. Do with them what you want." And they ate and had their fill. 5,000 people. It's a lot. And they didn't just have a little bit and they got by with one piece of toast and a little fish. Or what's funny coming to mind right now is like having Jack Miller's barbecue sandwich, the barbecue that's so good you don't even need the barbecue. They had ate till they were full, or other translations, till they were satisfied. They had more than enough. They were stuffed. They couldn't eat anymore. They were rolling over. And still there was an overabundance left over. And then truly a prophet is among us. So I say to you, don't sell yourself short. Don't cut yourself off at the knees. Someone said, "Well, Father, you're from Villeplatte. You're from Evangeline Parish. What good can come from there?" I met an airman from Basile. My sister and his mother said, "Y'all got to find each other." And we found each other one day on base. He came see me. What a good conversation. That was the exact words. "What good can come out of Evangeline Parish?" And the young airman said, "Well, Father, at least 2 of us." But rise to your potential. Live for the adventure. Look what Jesus did with someone from V-Dream. He used to ride his bike on the gravel roads and sit in these pews. And he comes back to you as a lieutenant in the Air Force to say Mass for you. And he came back to you as your priest. And then the Lord continued on. Find those ways in your life. Put the excuses aside. And even if it's less than 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, if it's 5 honey buns and 2 shoe pig, whatever it may be, let the Lord multiply that and surprise you. And be ready. And let him see what will happen. And he will transform your life, your world, the community, and everyone around you. If you allow him, and that's the power of the gospel and the power of our Catholic faith. So I told you what I wanted to tell you. I told you what I told you. And now I'll tell you what I told you again. It's good to be with you. It's good to be back. It's been an adventure already. A lot more to come. Let the Lord surprise you. Don't cut yourself off at the knees. Don't sell yourself short. And allow him to set you on an adventure that you may never expect. And when everybody tells you can't and you're crazy, tell them, "Yeah, I am crazy. I'm from Villeplatte, we're all crazy. We're supposed to be." And the Lord will even use your obstinacy and your craziness to praise his glory and do wonderful things. Allow him to do that in your life, for yourself, for everyone around you. as we prefer nothing whatever to Jesus Christ, so that he can bring us to everlasting life. Amen. And still in 15 minutes, wow.